You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
What's up, good people? Welcome to episode 2. Tony Bricks, what's up?
Man, I can't call it. You know, it's been a long week, but...
Wait a minute, it's Tuesday.
It's been a long week.
When did your week start?
Friday...
Oh, your week starts Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, yeah, you're on hump
yeah,
day.
Yeah, Friday is like Thursday. A double for me. It's like regular job and then nightlife job.
Okay.
So that happens on Fridays.
Oh, you're
and
right.
Then it just keeps going, you know. It's like nonstop. I'm off on Sunday and Monday. So those are like my relax slash party if you want to, maybe 20, 48 hours straight.
Oh,
you know,
my
so it's been
gosh.
A long week already.
See, that's one of those other polar opposites of us. We already told y'all last episode that we are like day and night. This is another opposite. Tony Brooks can be out all night.
Yeah.
And Megan will invite you over for a cookout at 6 p.m. and then cancel it at 6:15. Like, we're going to bed. I'm sleepy.
Absolutely. I have been victim of that.
Yes. Oh, my
So we
gosh.
Do have a guest in the studio with us today.
Yes.
And Shannon, would you like to say hello to the good people?
Hey, everyone. Hey, good people. Hey, Tony. Hey, Meg. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Yes.
Well, thank you for stopping in.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So we're going to jump right into one of our added segments to the show. We're going to call this one This and That.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Well,
we're
going to fly off the handle. Shannon, I got some questions for you.
Okay.
All right. You didn't sneak a peek, though, right?
I promise you, this is all freestyle.
Off the dome.
Okay.
Off the dome.
Okay.
Coming at you. Pray for me.
So, the lovely Meg Watt is the creator of these questions.
FYI.
Now, I wanted to come up with some stuff that is pertaining to mental health in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
And we need to, because we didn't really do any type of intro for Shannon, but I have known Shannon for over 10 years, and she actually was one of my softball idols growing up. So she is an athlete. A legend. We're all three athletes in this house.
Right? Yes,
so it's a good deal. But she is just like a dope chick. And we're going to have people on the show ranging from Tony Brooks level, been to 2 therapy sessions,
Absolutely.
All the way up to
4 years in the game.
Oh, 4 years okay. in the game, Shannon. Shannon got 4 years in the mental health game.
Still going.
Keep pulling my card.
No, it's but that's what we want. We want different perspectives. We want everybody to just come to the table and share a conversation, a raw conversation. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
Go ahead, Tony Brooks. I want you
okay.
cuz I know how she's going to answer some of these questions,
oh,
but I
man.
Just want to know. I mean, based
You're
on her
cheating.
No, I'm not cheating. Okay. Go
I need you to have a natural reaction.
Listen.
You have to think of questions
Tony Brooks,
that you don't know.
I don't even know how I'm going
to
answer these questions. I don't even know how she going to know.
Okay, so the first one is, would you rather marry poor with a connection or marry rich and work on the connection?
Mm. Okay, Meg, you might know me. I think connection builds wealth, you know? So I believe marrying poor is not always a bad thing. I think I will go on the scale of connection first. Mm-hmm. Definitely for me.
Yeah.
However, I don't claim poor. So,
okay.
But
okay.
hypothetically speaking,
oh, yeah. sounds good.
I will definitely say marry poor with a connection, because connection definitely will bring wealth.
Wow.
Oh, I like
connection
that.
Connection will bring wealth. Tony
Ooh.
Brooks, you need to answer too, by the way.
Ooh,
I want to know what you
answer
it too. I just want to know, you know.
Well,
y'all not just going to put
me
on the
read
spot.
The question again. It's like, nah, hold on, somebody read it to me.
Okay. The question is,
would you rather,
would you rather marry poor and have a connection?
Mm.
Like you connect with this guy or girl. Or
Wait,
would
how,
you rather?
Okay, go ahead. Did I just become bisexual all of a sudden?
Absolutely.
What you saying?
She threw that.
Yeah, that is, I am not calling
listen,
you anything.
You
I am being LGBTQIA plus inclusive.
Man.
That's what I'm doing.
Oh,
I just
okay,
want to make sure everyone.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay.
I understand.
Would you rather marry poor with a connection or marry rich and build on the connection?
So you know, I don't really have a gray area in my life. So it's going to be either one or the other. I will say that I'm a nurturer and I'm a supporter. I'm a builder. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're not, if you don't have everything and you have motivation to develop or achieve everything,
absolutely,
then we can do it together. Sure. I'll help you get to the end game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If Meek Mill knock at the door, though, I'm gone.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, honey. I love you, but Meek's here.
I'm gonna make it work, actually. I'm going to go ahead and make it work.
Yeah. Words have power. We don't want no poor folks.
Absolutely. Okay. And then question number two. Would you rather have a physical doctor or a therapist if you had to choose?
Okay, say that one more time.
Okay. Do you want to have a physical doctor or a therapist if you had to choose between a doctor or a therapist?
Okay, so I'm a little different.
Oh, you know, this question.
I need a little more in what in yes, what situation?
Exactly.
Like, in a healthy sense, if you were healthy, like, your average healthy American, and you had to choose between two providers. Would you choose the mental provider or the physical provider?
That's better. That's better.
Yikes. Shoot, I'm still caught off guard with this one. I don't want to be cliche or sound cliche, if you will, but I would say because of my journey, therapist.
Ooh, how is that cliche? Nope, most people will not choose that answer, bro. This is what I'm saying. Like, you are,
I'm a little different.
You're different.
Yeah,
you're
different. Absolutely.
I'm different.
Absolutely. I'm not answering that.
Wait,
I plead the fifth.
Wait a minute.
Wait, hold on.
Can you
do
that?
All right. I think I would have a physical doctor.
Okay.
All right. Because I think because of the traumas that I've dealt with.
Yes.
I'm always worried about my health because if my health fails, then who's going to take care of my children? If my health fails, then, you know, who's going to provide for them? It's just me right now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you can't talk me healthy.
Right.
You know, we ain't going to talk to health.
Well, how do
what
you know?
What if I need? Well, okay.
How do you know? I would argue that a lot of the physical issues we have are connected to our mental health.
Come on.
Okay.
Right? Like hypertension, diabetes, GI problems, arthritis. Like there's no like, okay. So full disclaimer, you know, nobody here is like a super duper expert in all the stats and health and no one's licensed.
None of it. Absolutely.
Okay. So we are,
we're just a couple of chicks that like to talk.
We're just a couple of chicks that like to talk. That is the best way my lawyer asked me to say that. So, but what I'm saying is I would argue that a lot of the stuff we feel physically is due to our mental, like due to our brains. So I would choose a therapist too, because affirmations are real. Right. I talk to healthy people all the time. And the one thing they all have in common is their mindset. All of their mindset. They're all like, I'm not sick. I say I'm not sick, so I'm not sick. I believe that I'm not sick. And they don't get sick.
Right.
Like that's, I mean, obviously you can't be like eating McDonald's every day and then saying, I'm not sick. I'm not going to get sick.
Right.
But, you know, if you do the right things diet-wise, exercise-wise, and your mind is controlling the show, I don't think you need a physical doctor. But that's just Meg.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's just Meg. Right. That's just Meg. If you break your arm, definitely go to the physical doctor.
Yes.
The therapist
can help you with that.
They're not going to help with that. But you get the point. So that was an interesting question. Yeah. And I think I want to ask that question to more guests, like just to kind of see, like, what do you guys...
You want that to be like a base question for the show.
I think so. Just to see, like, whatever answer you pick, what does it mean?
That should always be the question that a guest has to answer.
Yes.
So...
You want to get into it?
I'm ready.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if Shannon's ready.
I'm not.
She's probably not. So we invited Shannon on. We were talking about childhood wounds. And I don't even know. I'm so enthralled in my therapy world sometimes that I don't even know what terms and phrases are common, uncommon. Like, who knows? Is childhood wounds like a common term or phrase that people use, or do we just see it showing up in their adult life and then we find out that it has something to do
with the past?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think the latter. Absolutely. All right.
So how do you talk about, like, because pretty much all this stuff is connected to childhood wounds, if you mm-hmm. really think about it. Mm-hmm. You can always trace some sort of anger or trigger or outburst or illogical action mm-hmm. to something in your childhood or maybe even your adulthood that you still haven't worked through. Mm-hmm. But we don't really, so we don't call it childhood wounds. That's just me and my therapist. Okay. Thank you, Tony Brooks.
Yes.
That's why I need you.
Definitely you and your therapist, for sure.
Okay. Well, basically, childhood wounds are pretty much just like you would think of a physical wound on your body. Like you fall, you hit yourself, you hurt yourself, you get cut, you have a wound, you're hurt. Mm-hmm. And after a while, that wound, the bleeding stops and the scab starts to build over and you're starting to heal. But then somebody might pick at that scab and it starts to bleed. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I thought I was healed from that. I thought that was Gucci. Like I got that scar and I thought it was good.
Right.
But it's not. So like childhood wounds are the same thing. Like it could be anything that we've dealt with in our childhood and somehow it creeps up as we are adults mm-hmm. and we can be triggered.
Okay.
Triggered like my brother used to bully me. Okay. My brother, even to this day, I think he really stopped once I got married. But he would just take any plate of food that I had. I would spend all this time preparing my food, getting everything together. Yes. And he would just Debo my food.
Oh my gosh. That's yes. terrible.
Yeah. So every dude that I dated, that was like the number one discussion point.
Like,
I
don't
share any food. Do not take my food.
Oh my gosh.
If you take my food, it's going to be a problem. We're going to be arguing. You know, that's how I was. And of course, when I entered into my relationship with my husband, same thing. I just want to let you know, I grew up the baby of four and I never really had anything to myself. So please don't touch any of my stuff.
That was a nice way to say it.
Thank you. I have evolved away from that, of course, but I had to realize like, oh, that was some childhood stuff right there.
Right.
That's where that controlling nature came from. That's where that, you know, I'm real coveted with my stuff. So that's an example of a childhood wound, you know? So I wanted to talk to Shannon and we were going to, she's taking deep breaths over there.
which one you want to talk about?
Right. No, cause we all got a list, real talk.
Oh, wait.
But, I was going to break this up into three episodes because I feel like you can never, like we all have so many, and this is really the key to our lives, our happiness, our actions. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens in our childhood impacts us positively and negatively. And it's really just about, okay, how do I master that? And I just had a session with my therapist, with my twin sister. She called an intervention on me. So I got in trouble at the therapist.
What did you do?
I got in trouble. I've been being pretty mean to some people.
Okay.
And I realized that was like little Megan. So my therapist says we have three egos. We have our child ego, our adult ego, and our parent ego, if you become a parent.
Okay.
So I feel like I am triggered back to my child ego whenever certain people talk to me. People in my family.
Ooh. Wow.
So I had like put up this huge wall, like, y'all not about to do this to me. You ain't taking my plate. You know, you not about to alienate me from whatever it is you're doing, right? Like all these childhood feelings of hurt and pain and anger. Well, they had begun to manifest as anger. So now, once I realize that, like that's the biggest part. Once you realize it, then you got to do the work to heal. Yeah. So, Shannon, I know you have done a lot of work. You continue to do the work. We always talk about that. It's never over.
Never over.
But you continue to do the work. And I just wanted to, you know, pick your brain a little bit about some of those wounds that you saw show up in your adult life and then the type of work that you had to do to get over them or get through them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're going to just select one of my wounds because I have plenty. But one of the wounds that I continue to deal with as we sit here today is definitely a wound that is kind of uncontrollable. When it wasn't done to me intentionally. It wasn't something that someone particularly did to me, but it's dealing with my health.
Okay.
And I, at a young age, grade 7, I would say, the earliest time I went to the doctor, They saw some, they thought I had sinus issues and was like, no, this is my pediatrician. Thank God for her. She was like, no, you need to take your daughter to Children's Hospital and get a CAT scan. Ultimately, they found a tumor in the right sinus area. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, my life changed. Shortly after that, I started getting minor surgeries to big surgeries. And then around 11th grade in high school, I went to Renaissance High School, by
the way.
Okay,
shout out to Renaissance.
I went to Bates Academy undergrad.
Oh, okay.
I mean, undergrad, middle school. Undergrad.
But, where'd you go to undergrad? I'm just curious.
I went to an HBCU, which is a historically black college and university.
Okay.
The Winston-Salem State University. Okay. In Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Kakelake.
Big shots out. I'm very humbled and blessed that I was able to do that. But going back to my wound, I started getting surgeries at a very young age. Unfortunately, became my norm. And in 11th grade, they found cancer cells. So I underwent chemotherapy for 2 years. In that whole 2 years, I went from being okay to be extremely sick to the point of, you know, people just making you comfortable, if you will. Mm. At a young age, I played softball, though, which is definitely something that I always tell people has saved my life. Mm-hmm. Something that kept me motivated, kept me encouraged. My
and she's a beast.
Okay, we okay, must Megan. Say that. She is a beast.
Thank you. Thank you.
I couldn't believe she had cancer too.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, I was even in school that I just, you know, at that time we could wear wraps with a bun in the back. You remember the little wrap that we would wear, or my hat to the back. And I was a catcher on the softball field. And so I had my helmet on. So a lot of people really didn't know that I was going through this. Mm. It was something that I very much so silenced until I got sick and I had to quote unquote drop out of high school for some time. So I was homeschooled in the hospital, Children's Hospital of Michigan. It's amazing. Shout out to them too. but definitely survived that because my God is good. My family is all amazing. Always had a great support team and people around me, even when I felt like I didn't have anybody. Because when you go through stuff, you feel real lonely. Right. Feel like it's only you in the room.
Exactly.
But I had an amazing support, loving family, loving friends, loving teammates. As we survived that, right? So I went on to college, tested out of school, 11th grade, 12th grade year. Was able to graduate, walk across stage with my class, was blessed with that. So the wound came. I'm coming around to it, y'all. Stay
I
with
hear
me.
It. No.
So I went to school on a partial scholarship, obtained a full scholarship when I was there my freshman year. Followed the footsteps of my older sister Heather Davis. Shout out!
Shout out!
She was the amazing
another
pitcher.
Beast.
I was the pitcher. I mean, she was the pitcher. I was the catcher.
Another beast.
And as we went on to college, had an amazing college experience, grew closer to friends and family, even God intentionally placed in my life that are not blood. I thank God for them. Then graduated, went into the career field. Once again, boom, the same tumor, same situation, took me out of work because of now chronic pain.
Okay.
So the same tumor that I went through things at childhood, still I'm dealing with today. So the wound, I would say, I know it sounds weird, but I'm always in survivor mode.
Okay.
I'm always in survivor mode.
Yeah.
It's something that I programmed myself at an early age because I was, even though I had amazing parents,
right,
they also were parents that we're going to just deal with it. Keep going. We don't have time to sit. You still bring home A's. You still be the best on the softball field. You still have to, you know, show up and show out every time you step into a room, every time you step on a field.
Yeah.
So mentally, I believe that that has a lot of positivity to it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. However, as an adult, and as I've gone through three different career changers, taken out of them because of my health, not something I'm able to control, I'm still in survivor mode. So even when my relationships come, you know, a man comes along, I'm like, I don't have time for craziness. You know, I have walls. Right. I'm in survivor mode. I have to keep going because I don't know if tomorrow's my last day. So I'm gonna have to fulfill this day
right
in survivor mode. So I'm very hard on myself. I think that wound has created a lot of different deeper levels as far as good and not so cute things about me.
Do you think that those walls that you have are hindering some relationships that you encounter?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that I do well with loving my friends and family, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
However, I know I have walls. I know I have a different mentality. Mm-hmm. I know that some things that I had to work on to be more empathetic and sympathetic to someone else's, I won't belittle their stuff. But if someone says, oh my God, I broke a nail, I'm like, get over it.
Oh, you know right. You ain't had 15 surgeries though.
No, right. 16. Oh. But no, no. But I literally have grasped the concept of just meeting people where they are, not where you think they should be, not where you are, not where you expect them to be. Just meeting them where they are, because their journey looks different than yours, Shannon. You know, so you don't always have to be on all the time. You don't always have to be on because I'm fearful of you know, not being here, not physically being here. And this is something that I'm still surviving through on a day-to-day basis. So I really do believe my childhood wound is crazy to say, but survivor mode all the time.
I like that.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
Survivor mode.
Hope I didn't talk too long.
No. You gotta tell the story so they can understand what's going on.
Yeah.
They can't see us, you know, so we need to communicate it verbally.
With the guys.
Yeah.
Do you feel
of course
like
she would go there?
Well, you said you put up a wall. So I'm curious, like, do you feel like you can't be vulnerable with a partner at this point?
Let me talk about Shannon today.
Okay.
I'm very much so the ready evolution. And willing and vulnerable, but I'm also able to have a more of a trust meter, I guess. I have to trust somebody with my truth. I can't trust everybody with my truth. I can't always be vulnerable with everybody. Mm. And I'm a lovey-dovey person. Everybody get along to get along. I just want everybody to come on kumbaya. And I've had I wouldn't call them failures, but I've had my moments that weren't so great. And so, yes, to answer your questions, it definitely has brought barriers. It's definitely brought tension of somebody breaking through me. Because, like I said, at an early age, I silenced my truth as far as not wanting to admit not only to everyone else that I was sick, or I have a disability, but myself.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So silencing my truth and just in survivor mode with those two together, it's been a ride. It's been a journey.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that.
Man.
Yeah.
Childhood. Tony, I'm going to put you on the spot too. While I'm talking about one of my childhood wounds.
Yeah.
And you can think about one of yours too. Because you probably got one. You just don't. Probably haven't thought about it.
Well, I think about everything.
I think about
everything. My mind runs 100 miles.
That's true.
A minute. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I had some eating problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like my weight has always been a struggle. And I've been up and down. Yeah. Probably since I believe this wound. But basically, like, and with the childhood wounds, it's very important that you don't place any blame per se on anybody. So this is no blame on my father. I'm not saying I hate him and he's a horrible person. I love my dad. He's my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he grew up poor, and when it was time to eat, we had to eat everything. In all the pots and pans, in all the skillets, you had to clean the plates.
The
then I'm gonna give you seconds, and you better finish that too. Don't get up until you finish that. And I mean, I'm not the only person who's had this experience, I'm sure. But what that did was cause some problems when it's time to stop eating. So
thick
then I become an adult.
Lives, Megan.
Dark.
Thick thighs, slave lives.
They call me thick. I don't want to be thick, though. I just want to be. Yeah. So what that did was, like, it gave me, like, an eating disorder. Like, I was overeating. And like mentally, I could not tell myself, like, stop eating. You know,
yeah.
You're not hungry. But that's what I had been doing all that time.
Right.
Eating beyond the point of fulfillment.
Yeah.
And I found myself doing that in other areas of life, too.
Mm.
Eating beyond fulfillment.
Come on, talk about it.
I don't even want to get into it. Because I feel like, okay, everybody, I think everyone should go through a hoe phase. And when I say hoe phase, I mean sexual exploration to figure out who you are, mm-hmm. what you like, and all that good stuff.
Wait, are we still on eating
yes,
beyond the point
I
of
think
fulfillment?
So. Yeah,
I think so.
So what might we be eating?
I'm with you, Tony.
No. You guys are so funny. No. The whole phase, the whole phase is connected to the lack of nurturing, but I'm going to talk about that next episode. Anywho, but I would be like overdoing a lot of things in my life because I didn't have that wherewithal to be like, dude, you're good. Like, you don't need any more. You're good. So those types of wounds, like wounds can transfer across multiple areas in
Absolutely.
Our lives. And we don't even call them a thing, but that's what it is. So I actually didn't get my eating under control until maybe like 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And then I still had like bouts of, oh, I'm emotional. Like I'm down right now. So I need to get everything. Yeah, that was more emotional. But at that time, though, I did Weight Watchers. And that's when I realized like, oh, I don't have to eat this much. Like, I can eat this much and be
and
full.
Yeah.
And be good, you know. So they really, like, healed that wound, per se. But then I started looking at other areas in my life and trying to figure out, like, why am I doing so much? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like most people in my life, at least up until maybe 5-6 years ago, could definitely say, like, Megan be doing too much.
Oh,
you know, like,
okay.
Meg, she be doing too much.
She doing the most.
Yeah, she doing the most, you know. And even to this day, like, some people could still say that, but I don't think it's the same. Like, I think today people might say it just because they're unable to do what I do.
Okay.
But not, like, I'm really doing too much. Like, I'm not really doing too much. Like,
you're doing Meg.
I'm doing Meg. Ooh, I like that, Coach Jay. I'm doing Meg. But yeah, so that was one of my childhood wounds. We are running out of time, so I don't want to talk about two more. But
two more
or five.
I don't want to talk about two more. Too many
more.
This
episode's going to drag out, people. Let me reel the girls in.
Come
ladies.
On, reel us in, Tony Brooks.
Let's stay on track here.
What you
now.
Got? Childhood wounds.
I think I'm going to go with the bullying.
Mm-hmm.
I dealt with bullying a lot, even though I was bigger than everybody else.
Yeah.
Which it sounds weird.
Nope.
Like, why would people want to mess with me? I'm bigger than everybody out here.
Yeah.
But I think for one, because of my complexion,
mm-hmm.
for two, I mean, most of it was vanity. And then also I was okay with all of the boys or the men, even now today. I'm cool with all of the guys.
Yeah. We were just talking about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Us too.
So the girls wanted to beat me up because all the guys always wanted to hang out with me.
Yeah.
Which, and we, you know, we're just playing basketball.
Right.
I mean, learn how to hoop and maybe they want to hang out with you too.
In that order.
Yeah. So I ran a lot, you know, I ran a lot.
Really?
And then, yeah. I would not, okay, I'm gonna come out, but let me make sure, you know, these girls ain't out today. Cause I don't have time to be
dealing
with them. This was middle school.
Okay.
This was middle school. And the girls were, say I'm gonna be a sixth grader. They were probably, seventh, eighth graders, but it was like four of them in my neighborhood that always wanted to fight. And I'm like, I thought we was all cool. Now, you know, you guys want to fight. And so now I'm defensive.
Yeah, you be ready.
All the time. And just recently, because of my outburst, that I realized it's probably a better way to handle this. You don't got to slap everybody.
Yeah. No.
But I was defensive. And it carried over into my relationships, too.
Oh,
where
wow.
you... okay, if I think you coming, I'm coming first.
Yeah.
Because wow. you're not going to push me around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say the bullying. I can't stand a bully, even today.
Yeah.
If I see a bully, you're not going to be bullying me, baby.
Yeah, I agree.
And I tell or my kids that, else. Too. You don't let nobody just be messing with you.
Yeah.
Because that's not cool. Mm-hmm. You know, and you tell somebody, let somebody know, you know, that somebody messing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't fix it, I'm going to come and fix it for them. You know, either way, they going to stop messing with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't never tell them to fight. I protect yourself.
Sure.
You know, if you feel like you need to, I don't say somebody hit you, hit them back. I don't believe in all of that.
Yeah.
If you feel like you need to defend yourself, then please do that, because don't let nobody be pushing you around.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that came from the girls trying to push me around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did it all the time. Yeah. All the girls, even in high school. I had a chick in high school that wanted to push me around all the time because I was cool with her boyfriend. You know, but I had known him before her. Like, I wasn't even really rocking with her. Like, yeah. What's up? And literally, they tried to rush me in Hart Plaza.
What?
Hart Plaza, me, my best friend, and my other homegirl. It was like four of us. They were kind of, you know, just off. Like, we was all just kind of walking.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was walking a little ahead because I'm trying to see where the fellas at. Where the men at. And I spot the girl.
Yeah.
And she talking to her girls, and I see her girls disperse.
Oh, no.
And so I look around. Immediately, I'm on the defense.
Wow.
Oh, Tequila, come here. Let me tell you what's going on. You see her, you see her, you see her. They all together. Why they all circling, I don't know. And then Tequila, come on. I said, let's just leave, because we'll go to jail out here.
Oh my
it's Hart Plaza, middle of the festival. They going to lock us up. You know, but they was about to try to rush me.
Oh, my
So gosh. When I get to school, I tell her, listen, I don't know what's going on the other day, but if you ever turn your back on me like I'm doing with you right now, I'm going to drop you, period. And I left it at that, and I went to class. I was a ninth grader. She was a 12th grader trying to run up on me
wow.
at the festival.
Wow.
Yeah.
So after you established that boundary,
yeah.
you didn't have any issues?
No.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
I was bullied, too. No, that's a good story. Mm-hmm. Were you ever bullied? Shannon?
I don't even remember. I had so much stuff going on as a kid.
Right, right.
You ain't total blur. To think about that.
But I will say this, just to add on to that. So when you, Megan, also add on to what you were saying, wounds create other feelings. I'm in survivor mode, but I'm also like in intense mode. Like I intensely love. I intensely
yeah.
do. I overdo yes. stuff because
yeah.
I just want. I literally live every day as if it's my last day.
Right.
And sometimes, like, I got to pull back a little bit. Like, okay, Shannon, you ain't got to do all of that. Yeah. Or that person's okay. But in your defense, I can't stand a bully.
Yeah.
And I'm in protective mode.
Right.
Of everybody, especially my circle and my friends and my family.
Yes.
But
if
I'm at a restaurant and I see somebody just being nasty to somebody, I have had to work on this. I'm like, I defend this person, like this
yeah.
innocent person that's not doing anything, because I feel like, you know, bullies are cowards, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period, exclamation point, like it's period. So I do feel like I overly do things sometimes.
Yeah, like yeah. I used to get bullied like because of my clothes, which which is kind of perfect for me now, because now I really don't care what people think.
Yeah.
But like back then, like, you know, my mom.
But that makes be the reason.
Yeah. So it's like some wounds are good.
Yeah,
they're
right.
not really, you know, they work in our favor.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used to get played because I didn't have name brand stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember, but I still was cool though. So like I had these shoes that were supposed to be Fila's, but they just had like an equal sign. Like it would be like an equal sign
right.
on my
That's
shoes
right,
from Payless. And I remember all the kids was like trying to clown me. But I was like, man, these feelers, dog. Like, what are y'all talking about? Like, I had convinced them that they were real.
Yeah, these are feelers.
And then I remember one of my friends was talking to me and she's like, are those real? And I was like, yeah, man, he's real. He's real. Like, I just kept it going. But yeah, the bullying is something else. Because now I'd be like, I really don't care. And I'm going to wear the same thing. Every podcast episode, I'm saying it right now, I'm wearing one of two shirts that has my company logo on it, Unique Therapy 2. And that'll be my uniform. Because why not? Tony Brooks about to die. She can't believe.
God. Oh,
she
said that.
Yeah. The same outfit every time. And I dare someone to say something to me. I dare you, because then we could just line up retirement accounts. Like, what are we comparing right now? What are we comparing? Clothes or retirement account? Like, okay.
In that order.
So anyway, Tony Brooks.
My parents always said to us, we were never able to wear a lot of name brand things. And that's probably why I don't. I appreciate the look or how you feel. You don't need to wear anybody's name across your chest but your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if you do, that means you got your own.
Yeah.
You feel me? Mm-hmm. So for all the young people out there that go with trends and what's hot and what's on TV, I just wanted to share that with you. You know, wear your name across your chest. Be proud of your name just like you would Gucci.
Yeah. That's a good message. All right,
Meg. You ready? Right.
Therapy pick?
Therapy pick.
Meg's therapy pick.
Yes.
Yeah. So each episode, we're going to break down either a therapy that I've tried or maybe somebody's written in to me that they have tried and they want me to share with the people. So this week's therapy pick is pretty simple, and it's music therapy.
Oh, yes.
I knew Tony Brooks would really love this.
I love that.
So Tony Brooks, I feel like I could just let you take over here.
Yes.
But I did just want to, I got Google up, so I just want to read the definition of music therapy.
Okay.
And then I want you to talk about how you use it in your life. She has the biggest smile on her face right now.
I'm excited.
This is how you know this is a real thing. So music therapy is used for many different issues, from stress relief to mental, emotional, and behavioral problems. It has been shown to help treat depression, anxiety, and is often used to help elderly clients deal with memory loss associated with diseases such as Alzheimer's and dementia. That's according to the Google. So I just wanted to put that out there. And I know all of y'all can pick a song right now that can make you feel better.
Absolutely.
Can change your mood.
Absolutely.
Tony Brooks, what you got on this music therapy stuff?
So I am like the karaoke queen, like queen of karaoke. And I'm really good. I can really sing.
Yes, she can.
But I don't want to be a singer. Like, that's not my calling. That's not my thing. But it helps me. Like, if I've had a stressful day or something, I want to go to karaoke. And then I want to pick the song that goes best with what the day entailed. If it's a, if I'm singing, if I'm rapping, I like a lot of songs with B's and F's in it. You know, I like to rap those type of lyrics.
If it's been a rough day.
If it's been a rough day where maybe I've encountered a bully, then I want her to get shot and I want to rap about it, you know.
Yes.
But when I'm more in an emotionally vulnerable state, I might want to sing something that's a little softer, you know, more like a ballad.
A ballad.
Yeah, where...
What's your favorite ballad to sing?
Oh, I love He Loves Me by Jill Scott. That's like my classic.
Wait,
like,
how Scott, does that
any karaoke
wait,
I go
to.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sing it because that's the one. Really sing.
You did it.
So I like that one. And then Don't You Remember by Adele is a song that I like to sing on the anniversary of my son.
Okay.
You know, he passed away in 2011. Mm-hmm. And I still deal with it. I'm a little better with it, though, you know, because for a year I was literally intoxicated for 1 year. For 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other kids wasn't getting to school. Mm. Parents calling, trying to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And then I tried to kill myself. And my daddy saved my life. Right?
Wow.
But that Adele song always brings out this different emotion. It's a strong release.
Yeah.
And I could just get all of that sad energy off and leave it in the building.
Yeah,
powerful.
Yeah.
I think I wanted to talk, and Shannon, you're going to talk just a second here, but the music is therapeutic, but it can also have the opposite effect too. Like, we were talking about road rage the other day.
Uh-huh.
And this dude at our first event, Unitherapy 2 had their first event on how to master stress. And he asked a question about how to manage his road rage.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the questions was, well, what are you listening to in the car?
What did he say?
So and, you know, it was like hardcore rap. I think it was like
good.
Big Daddy Kane or somebody he was listening to. I mean, no, Rick James. Rick James is who he's listening to.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, like, the music can, it does, it can take a good effect. It can take a bad
Absolutely.
Effect.
Right.
But what's that one song?
Oh, no, I guess. One song for what?
The one. Well, okay, I'm going to tell you.
She's like, it's so
I'm
many
tell
of
you.
Them.
When Sunshine Anderson comes on, she only had but one song.
Yeah, Heard It All Before.
Heard It All Before. When Heard It All Before comes on, I am just in the best mood. It's a horrible song.
I think that's a female
it's
anthem.
It's a horrible song. It's a female anthem. I don't know. But the words are not good at all. But
They're
it's
not.
Something about the beat and her conviction. It's just like, yo, this song gets me hype.
Oh,
what
my
song
gosh.
Gets you hype, Shannon?
What's See, it's an unfair question to me because even though music is my therapy all the time, mm-hmm. I am not the genius like this young woman next to me of like titles and people. I just know I love feel good music, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to get hype. I like the, I don't want to say that word. That would be rude, but I like the, you know, the songs that keep sounding the same in the industry right now.
Okay.
But my main go-tos are R&B soul music, gospel for sure. Yolanda Adams CD, Open My Heart. I think that was because you're a guru of the titles, right?
Yeah.
That was a song that I listened to every single day I went through chemo. And that was a 2-year bout. I listened to that song,
that's a good song.
Every single day. So going back to, you know, those feel goods, if I heard it today, it brings up emotion. Mm-hmm. It brings up victory. It brings up, you know, sadness. It brings up happiness. It brings up joy. And it brings up what I internally like center my life around. So that is one that stands out. But other than that, I love feel good music in any type of feeling. Like,
feel good before I let go.
Yes. Yes. Jill
That's
Scott.
That's a feel good joint right there.
I like
a
just got like all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So, relationship goes, Tony Briggs.
Let's just try to keep it with the childhood wounds, I would say. A lot of times you want to try to not put your negative energy off on your significant other or the person that you're communicating with, the person that you're around regularly or not regularly, you know, because a lot of times you don't know what that person is going through too. That person could be having a bad day as well. So I think that you might just want to greet people with a smile, even though you're having a bad day. You don't know where people've been. You don't know where they are and you don't know where they're going.
Yes.
So just try it. Yeah, try it. It works. I'm telling you. Mm. I'm telling you. I smile at everybody and forever I didn't like my smile. Too many gums, gaps in my teeth. I wasn't comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But after you smile so much, you got such a nice smile. And then I'm smiling at everybody now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think you want to try to greet people with a smile this week if you can.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what we got going on next episode, Meg?
Next episode, let's do part two with childhood wounds. There's a couple other things that I know you can relate to some of these relationship goals.
Absolutely.
And Shannon's going to come back. You're going to come back, right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You
want to
leave
back.
Your handle for him, Shannon?
Yeah, where can they find you?
Oh, here. No. I am transitioning into life coaching and motivational speaking. I hate saying speaking because I don't want anybody to feel like I'm speaking at them. I want people to speak with me.
Sure.
But right now, I'm really not good with social media right now, but I'm going to get better.
Okay, next episode, Shannon. Don't worry about it. We'll get it together.
We're going to get better. But
Okay.
I go by Coach Shay.
Okay.
All right.
Coach
All right.
Shay. Well, until next time, folks, thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Meg Watt.
And I'm Detroit's bad girl, Tony Brooks.
Peace.